Bob Forward's favorite Beast Wars character. Do you know what it is?
Tigatron.
It's Dinobot.
Well, shit.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Autopod Decepticast, a bi-weekly podcast that delivers an episode-by-episode breakdown of the Beast Wars series. You know, formerly the G1 series, all three seasons, four seasons if you're nasty, and occasionally a G.I. Joe episode. And, you know, we're Renaissance people of the Hasbro Entertainment Empire. This is your host. Oh, this is our episode 243. And we're covering Beast Wars episode 20/18, depending on production or air date order. And that episode is entitled Dark Voyage, and it aired on February 3rd, 1997. This is your host, Aaron, and with me are a couple guys that I didn't write an intro for.
Gobbles, stupid motherfucker!
Hey. I'm Ryan.
Hey, I'm Caleb. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, everybody.
Hey!
Oh, why are we doing this? Shit. Because we got nothing to say. Hey.
Hey.
We had a great episode last time. I wonder if this one will match up.
Get ready for disappointment. Oh, I mean, no, I like this episode. I'm just like, maybe we spent all our nut on getting reacquainted.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good.
So good. You guys should go check out that episode.
If you haven't heard it, listen to APDC episode 242.
Yeah.
Then skip this one.
Go back up.
Back up
to episode zero. Listen to all of our episodes.
Everything.
Buy us a drink.
Some people do start over. I've done that with podcasts where I start over just from the jump and like listen to them all the way through up to the current.
Ugh, you pathetic.
I do that.
Fuck. What?
I mean, I constantly listen to something.
I like to start at the beginning.
Yeah.
Stop looking at me like that.
Aaron doesn't listen to anything.
I thought he was going to punch me.
Whoa. No, never. Have we ever punched each other? What acts of violence have we committed?
No, I've never been punched by you. I've had whiskey thrown in my face by you.
Sorry.
I've never been punched by you.
There was some pantsing.
Yeah, I pantsed you. Yeah.
Which was worse, the whiskey or the pantsing?
Well, the whiskey was private.
That's true.
I would say
not showing my pride.
No, at the time, I was the king of the world when I pantsed you. I was the most popular kid in my mind.
He's got champagne, cigars, bitches.
I would say that the pantsing was worse. You know,
and I've never done anything wrong. So,
except when you pushed me down at the playground.
Oh yeah, you did get
behind those girls.
You did get a baby gash and
cut my
decided
elbow.
To be a bitch about
three,
it.
I got three Band-Aids at the nurse's office.
I was hiding behind a gaggle of women. My stable protected me. Yeah.
I was like, "Where's Ryan?"
I think this was like first grade.
It was first grade.
Wow, the memory you guys have.
Yeah, I don't know. We all meet. It's funny. I believe we've talked about this at least once on this podcast.
I think so.
So yeah, Ryan's hurt me.
Didn't he also have like a socks full of quarters or something and hit you?
Oh yeah, or but my dad. The weird thing is
mixing up two things.
That really bothered my dad more than anything. It didn't bother me, but my dad decided that day that he was mad at Ryan.
What was the thing? What am I?
We filled socks. Oh,
with other socks.
Well, we were just hitting each other with socks.
Homie socks.
Yeah, exactly. And then Ryan was doing some kind of joke where he put a bunch of quarters in his pockets and he walked down the hall.
Out of Caleb's jar of quarters. And then I tripped. Well, I'm going home, and I was jingling around.
But then, weirdly enough, I didn't understand the joke, and I thought he was, for a while, I thought he was really trying to steal something. I don't know. It all got weird.
And then I think
my dad got mad.
The capper on it was you were tying your shoes in the yard, and I had the sock that I was just.
My dad was watching this all from the window of the house, fuming. I'm like,
that's weird, considering how he treated people in the railroad.
Oh, yeah. And he tells me stories about when they were kids, and. They told me a story about they had this one kid dig a hole in the yard and then they just pushed him in the hole.
What a prank.
So, yeah, I don't know. But there you go. No, I don't think you've... We've never punched each other.
Right. Should we start a fight club?
I don't want
to. What are we going to get out of that?
I don't... injuries, medical bills.
But will we get the cathartic...
The experience release.
Thing? I don't know. I let a friend punch me in the face once. It was stupid. I shouldn't have done it.
What happened?
I was probably, what was I, sophomore in high school? Ooh. I was dating this girl, one of my first girlfriends, and she wasn't super faithful. I'll just say that.
Okay.
anyway, I think I was...
Not in sophomore year of high school.
I was like 13 or 14. Anyway, I don't think anything physical happened, but she would have long phone conversations with a friend of mine named
and
he didn't mind to try and get the attention and try and, you know, make it a romantic thing. Because he's a scumbag.
He had a few bad ideas.
We've got all kinds of things.
But I remember hanging out with the guys. I didn't know that was happening. And I was hanging out with the guys, and everybody except me knew that he was having this phone fling with her. We can't tell you. And Chris was like, okay, I'm going to tell you. You should know. But if you tell her I told you, then you have to let me punch you in the face.
What the fuck kind of weird?
So he told me, and of
negotiating
course
negotiating is.
I know. I was an idiot. He told me, and then I told her because of course I was going to confront her on it, and then I let him punch me in the face.
Oh my god!
I mean, we were 16.
No, we were younger than that. I think I was 14.
Okay.
Tops.
So we really can't be held responsible.
I don't think anybody just lets somebody punch him in the face. What am I going to lose out on all my honor if I'm like, yeah, that thing where you fucked me over and you get to punch me in the face?
You know, now that you say it.
Friend? I haven't talked to that guy in 30 years, but I assume he's still like that.
He's got to be in prison, right?
I don't know. He seems sly enough to get out. He's probably a politician now.
Oh, yeah. He might be in the current administration. Yeah.
Well, that was a weird trip down memory lane for everybody.
We did have stuff to talk about.
Did anybody out there ever let someone punch them in the face?
Yeah, let us know.
Anyway, hey, patrons.
Shout them out.
Thank you for what you bring to this podcast.
And you're welcome.
The community. Wow, I wasn't going to say that.
You punch our bank account with dollars.
In the face.
Alpha Magnus, Debbie Skeeter, Jeff, Mike Seibert of Mike Seibert Radio, Bono, Michael Trimblett, Roop, Jonathan, Robinus Prime, Safubi Samurai, Chandler, Jay Soups, Matt from Louisville, Nick, the Toy Mad Dad, Ken Buckland,
Big Al,
Maurice.
Did you just call him Ken Buckland?
Ken Buckland.
Big Clem.
Captain Alexis, James and Julia, Michael Ordway, Tim Dubs, Jason, of course, from Cracktastic Plastic, Thomas, Beatty Guns, Triclops, Optimal Alex, Simon, New Daniel, Seventh the Chronicler, Argonist Prime, The Unknown Patron. Brian Jones, Autobot 1000, Zarmat, The Anonymous Patron, Bruticus 78, and Johnny Utah. Thank you for your contribution.
Maybe we'll get to the show. I know we'll at least get to see one patron when we go to Chicago in October. We'll get to hang out with Bono, I'm sure.
Beatty Guns, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We'll get to hang out with Beatty Guns.
Yeah.
Perhaps Big Ken.
Yeah.
Man.
I like how
Perhaps Maurice.
Yeah, perhaps. Maybe.
The Chicago contingent.
Yeah.
Now that they're all
the
boxed.
Outfit. Chicago outfit.
That's right. Chicago right. Mafia. You know, they get together every weekend to talk about us in the show.
And yeah, also to discuss, you know, like doing illegal things.
Like what?
Oh, I see. It's a mafia joke.
It's a mafia thing. I don't know. Tax evasion.
They control their territories.
That's right.
It's a cartel.
Don't be around when Valentine's Day comes over. It's a St. Valentine's Day massacre. Anyway, This is good stuff. We're doing good.
Ryan, let's do... I have a proposition. Let's do a blind taste test. You make the cocktail. Caleb and I will use our animalistic senses to try and determine the ingredients in the cocktail. And then you can tell us what we get right and
wrong.
Let's
do that. I'm
excited.
You guys
are going to be the worst at this because even when I tell you the ingredients, you ask me what the ingredients are. I just told you they're in it.
This might improve the experience overall because we'll be so dialed in and in the moment.
We shouldn't look over there.
Yeah, you're right.
We'll just look at each other.
No. We're not going to look at each other. Here, put this on. It's a blindfold. I'm going to put one on too.
Oh, wow. As soon as I put on this blindfold, I just see I see the echoes of everything around me. So as I speak, I can sort of see in sort of a Metal Gear VR missions mode the outline of.
Can you see this? Can you see what I'm doing?
No, you must be doing it very silently.
No. You've got that. Oh, I need to make more vibrations. Here we go. Now I'm vibrating. Now what am I doing?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Look. Try harder.
I can't look. I'm blindfolded.
But I'm putting off vibrations. You got to guess.
Are you saying you're sending me vibrations mentally?
I'm creating them. What do you see in your vibrations?
Okay, I see myself. Oh, wait. Oh, I'm young. Okay. Well,
I'm young.
You're young.
I'm young. I see you. You're behind me. You. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. Okay. You're telling me I've got something in my hair.
No, you're like...
You're taking my hand.
This isn't like a...
You're putting... Oh, my God. You're putting... You're trying to show me where the thing in my hair...
No, this is like Daredevil doesn't like... Daredevil sees things
This isn't a Daredevil thing.
I like how Daredevil would be
you're
like...
Putting your hand, you're putting my hands up to the top of my head to help me pull out... You pantsed me!
I like the idea of like... Aaron's blind, but his superhero power is just seeing past traumatic events.
Every time I close my eyes, that's what happens, and that's why I don't blink.
Yeah. I'm going to punch you in the face with your eyes closed.
Where are we going with your thing? You're sending me vibes. No, Daredevil doesn't pick up vibes.
He doesn't vibe?
Don't blame me.
Does Daredevil vibe?
Probably.
He's vibing. Yeah.
He's got mad game because didn't he hook up with that Elektra assassin?
Yeah.
AKA Jennifer Garner. You know, I've never thought that Jennifer Garner was real. I was never really into her, but she was like smoking in Wolverine and Deadpool. Yeah, she was looking really good.
I've still not seen that movie.
It's very enjoyable.
Awesome.
Highly recommend.
Yeah, me too. Oh, you can open your eyes now, Aaron. It's okay. Just don't look over.
Well,
I'm
opening my eyes. I still can't see anything. I have a blindfold on my face.
Oh, that's right.
Do you want me to take off the blindfold?
Take off the blindfold now, Aaron.
Why are you naked? You're helicoptering your penis.
No, that big, the better question is, why are you naked?
Sexual assault is not funny.
No.
Caleb.
You're right. Put the blindfold back on.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. Hold on a second. Russell. All right. Now you can take off your blindfold. I've got my clothes on now, but you're still naked.
That's where I got you. I showed up naked.
Oh!
I was naked the whole time.
Really? This would have been better in the previous episode, but I have a lot of dreams where I am naked.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine are very common. I'm naked, but nobody cares except me.
That I'm the same way. I'm not getting made fun of. I'm just like, I just go in and out of being aware of like, oh, I'm fucking naked.
Do you really feel like you need to do something about it? Like, oh, I need to get pants before
comes,
I move on.
It ebbs and flows. Yeah. At some point, I'm like, oh, I'm naked. I need to get somewhere. I need to get to fix the problem, mm-hmm. or I need to get some clothes on, or this is awkward. But then I don't really
you get distracted.
I get distracted by what else is going on, and then I kind of move on.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my dreams are me just like wandering through like some sort of either it's usually a college or a school or like an urban center like St. Louis or something. Mm-hmm. I've noticed I have a common geography in my dream of of travel. There's some, like, the orientation is usually the same. And some common themes is I keep trying to get to my destination in it, which I don't know what that is, but I can't get there.
Mm-hmm. That, I get that a lot.
Yeah. I go in and out of being a naked. And then one of the reasons I can't get somewhere sometimes is because I just can't fucking move my legs fast enough. Those are real common. I'm fascinated by the dreams. I like the scapes that my brain is creating that I move through. Mm-hmm. I just get frustrated. I'm frustrated.
Yeah. I don't remember most of my dreams. I really just have the essence of I was frustrated in a lot of them. But one I do remember, this was really weird, was somehow or another I was traveling down it was a very idyllic, beautiful stream, and I was in like a canoe, and I was just letting the stream carry me, and there is beauty, and the sun was setting, and I was kind of I was floating into the sunset. I realized that I was going to heaven, but I was calm, I was peaceful, and I was just floating down this stream, and I'm floating, I'm getting closer and closer to the sun, and then the sun envelops me, that's the bright light, and when the light cools down, I'm in or kind of goes away, I'm in sort of a dark, like hardwood, dark wood study. That's like a library.
Nice, yeah.
Like a nice, fancy desk and, you know, shelves.
Mahogany.
Filled with
leather-bound books.
Yeah. And on that desk, for some reason, there's a bulldog. There's a bulldog.
Just sitting on the desk?
Sitting on the desk.
Okay.
He's like, "Welcome to heaven." And the bulldog was John Lennon.
Wow.
Whoa.
Listeners, do go back and listen to the previous episode. Wow, that I'm surprised that didn't come up last, but that's an awesome.
It was really weird, but
that's an awesome dream.
I enjoyed it. I think we chatted a little bit.
Welcome to heaven.
We've got to, like, okay, there. That's a booty box thing.
John Lennon bulldog in heaven.
Yeah. Okay.
So this drink is two drinks.
Yeah.
That we have to.
Do Aaron and I?
Here, let's cheers, and then.
Well, hold on. Do we have to? Are these related somehow?
Are you supposed to dump them into each other?
Don't combine them. Also.
Were we gonna guess the ingredients? Can we still do that, or is that gonna kind of fuck up what's going on?
No, you can
do it.
Here, I mean, cheers. I would let's say you don't need to drink the smaller drink to
right,
do
I'm
that.
Just cheers this one, and then I'm gonna sip
coupe
this.
Is the main
All right,
one.
So we're sipping this without knowing, and me and Aaron are gonna try to guess what's in this.
I'll describe it for the listener. It's yellow.
It's really good.
I'm gonna guess it's gonna have a lemony flavor profile.
Who are you in for a surprise?
Okay, there is a fruity pulp. Let's identify the fruit. What do you think that fruit is? Coconut, maybe. I think I'm getting coconut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm getting coconut. The champagne.
What else is in there?
What kind of alcohol you think's in that? Vodka?
There's some herbal-y notes. I wonder if it's gin.
This is really fun for me, listener. This gin. Is enjoyable. I like this.
Gin, coconut.
They're not right
it's
at
well,
all.
It's well
so
balanced.
Far.
Hold on.
We're 0 for 0?
You have not gotten any except vodka.
Okay, there's no coconut. I guess there is vodka, not gin.
So then I guess the fruit bits would be pineapple.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it's citrusy. It's pulpy.
Pulpy.
There's a light citrus flavor to this, I would say.
What's this, the liqueur in it of some sort is like...
Yeah. I'm struggling.
Really, like, giving it, like...
Honestly, this is the worst drink for you guys to guess, because there's a lot of ingredients are very vague.
I give up.
And
yeah, all right, hit me.
So, this is a porn star martini.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm hard.
That's why I'm naked. And I showed up naked. I have absolutely no reason for choosing this cocktail, especially since it originated in the early 2000s, so it's not even correct for the time series of the show. But I just like the idea colloquially, and I put it on the list. And regarding this drink, bartender Douglas Ankra of the London Townhouse Bar thought it was what a porn star would order, but other stories claim it was inspired by the smell of a stripper's perfume, which is a version I like much better. You guys know that smell, that stripper's perfume smell.
I mean, yes.
I love it.
I think it's cheap.
Whoa! No!
Damn, Caleb.
Well, of course it's cheap. You got to wear it every night if you're working.
That's true.
I like it. Usually it's heavy vanilla notes.
Just a dabble, do you?
In a stripper's perfume. Yes, very vanilla forward. Usually, and I may be out of touch. I think it's been like 8 years since I was in a jiggle joint, but it's a visceral memory for me. Have you guys seen that place down the street called Teasers?
I've passed by it.
It's near the Red's Hamburg. It's on the corner of.
It's over here on Sunshine. Yeah, it's been a spot, different strip joints over the years.
It's got to be a money laundering operation. I don't know how that place can have any business. Like, it's like the size literally of a big storage shed. I want to go in there just to find out, but I know it's going to be sad and weird.
Well,
West won't go in there with me.
Really?
Well, yeah, because she's like, it's going to be sad and weird.
Yeah,
might not that's be. Like, maybe I'll be surprised.
Another small place that used to be up on Glenswood was Sassy Red's. You ever heard of Sassy
Red's?
Yeah,
I remember Sassy Red's.
But yeah, this one over here, Teasers, it's tiny. I'm trying to imagine just how big the stripper stage is.
I know. It's got to be like 3 steps from everything inside that building. Yeah. It's going to be one stage. You're not going to be able to look at any place without making eye contact with someone else in there. And I just can't imagine.
What's the layout? Yeah, what I want to know. Like, how does this all work?
Well, let's go for research.
For research,
and I never
purposes.
Really see cars in the lot, so I'm like, "This is what is this?"
Well, I mean, it's probably. Have you ever driven by there at like 1 o'clock in the morning?
Fair,
yeah,
fair point. Anyway, there's something very special to me about stripper's perfume, so you can let me know if that's what this reminds you of. For this drink, which is obviously not a martini, the porn star martini, you will need 1 1/4 ounce or 45 mils of vanilla vodka, 1/2 ounce or 15 mils of passion fruit liqueur.
That's what it was.
That's what it was, you guys. I used Shinola brand. I don't know if that's how it's pronounced, but 1 ounce, 30 mils of passion fruit puree, 1/2 ounce of lime juice, 1/2 ounce of vanilla syrup, which is just a 1:1 volume to water sugar syrup steeped with vanilla bean in it for several hours, and then 2 ounces or 60 mils of sparkling wine. Add all ingredients except the sparkling wine into a shaker with ice and, you know, shake the fucker up. Strain into a chilled coupe glass. Garnish with passion fruit half if you have one, which I don't. And then serve a 2 ounce shot of sparkling wine as a sidecar. Kind of like a weird Boilermaker.
This sidecar does kind of cut. It cleanses the palate. Yeah.
It actually isn't as sweet as I thought it would be.
I'm pretty sweet, but.
It is, but I think it's manageable.
But it's tolerable, yeah. I could have 2.
Yes, sir. I like it too.
You should. We should go into Teasers and recommend this drink.
Yeah, can I have a porn star martini? Well, yeah, I'm drunk. I got in here drunk.
Yeah, I like it, Ryan. This did not come from the book.
No, this is just a random thing. I think West actually wanted me to make this for her one time, and so that's what I did. And then I was like, put it on the list.
I'm glad it made it around.
Yeah.
It's maybe my favorite in a while.
It's not like she's against going to strip clubs. She just doesn't want to go into that sad strip club.
Well, who knows if it's sad or not until
it's
you actually go in
there. It can't be great. Although, strip clubs around here are garbage because they have to wear pasties. Ugh. Stupid.
Unless they don't serve alcohol.
Yeah, but
right.
What are we doing here? We're not going to fuck, why did I come?
What?
I don't know.
But you came.
And then I went.
I'm going to check out the Yelp reviews of Teasers.
Okay. Their sign out front, I think, says like cold beer, hot girls.
Just go ahead and do the episode. I'm going to find some. If it's relevant, I'll bring it in.
Last episode recap. The Maxis got freaky deaky beastie. Yeah. So let's put on the blindfolds and make this A Dark Voyage, written by Samuel Warren Joseph and directed by Stephen Ball. Caleb, what's the rating of the strip club down the street?
What's the news?
Well, no reviews yet, but I found a Groupon for it.
Oh, no. What is it? Oh,
wait a minute. It just says Teaser Spring. I don't. Groupon's weird. It said, this merchant doesn't have any details and is not affiliated with Groupon.
Okay.
Please contact them directly for services.
I didn't even know a Groupon was still a thing.
All right. This is a Transformers podcast, listener, promise. Yep. Beast Wars, Transformers. We open. Rat Trap is using his tiny little mouse paws to dig up and uncover a shard of Energon Crystal. He kind of
circus closet from the ground below and places it in a storage container on the back of Cheetor. Rat Trap feels like he's pretty good at this.
Yeah, he says, I got a nose for Inner John, kid. Used to be the best miner in the Vespa system.
Which is just made me think of Transformers 1.
Oh, yeah.
Real quick, I don't think it's called Teasers anymore. I think it's already changed names again.
According to this, is it
the one on the north side of the road?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was picturing.
It's called Showtime Joe's.
Showtime Joe's. That's
and
right.
And there's
it
a burger
change.
Or something on the front, right? Okay. Are there reviews?
Well, I haven't got that for all you. Right, I'm so right. sorry, guys.
No, that's not. Right. It has changed to Showtime Joe's. It's been that way for a couple of years now.
Yeah. Right now, I do see a review that says Queen is sexy and amazing.
Okay.
Oh, Queen.
Let's go check her out.
Ask for Queen.
Maybe they're talking about the band, though. I'm not really sure.
It's just unrelated.
It's they exude raw sexuality.
As far as I can tell, there is no human system called the Vespa system other than marine technology that helps boats be more visible to each other. So that must be a Cybertronian call sign.
Local assholes Rhinox and Dinobot remind Rat Trap that he's not really anything that special. This is kind of like shooting fish in a barrel over here. This is a saturated Energon deposit field. And to make that even more clear, we see Dinobot finds a giant deposit that makes Rat Trap find look negatively meaningless.
Yeah, it's hilarious because Dinobot's walking around and he's like, oh, I found some. And you pan up and it's like the largest chasm of Energon in the world. Like, you didn't see that without the detector?
Yeah. Dinobot is better than Rat Trap at everything. And then, incoming...
This part is kind of stupid.
An arrow missile falls from the sky and stabs a crystal below. This projectile was sent by Scorponok and Waspinator, though Rhinox did grab the arrow and throw it from the deposit. I don't understand. I guess
I don't,
it's making a high-pitched sound.
I don't understand this either.
I don't know if the high-pitched sound is what caused the issue or just the fact that it penetrated a crystal and fractured it is what caused the issue. But basically, we all know that Energon crystals are pretty volatile, and now this situation is unstable enough that it explodes bigly.
I have so much to say about this part.
Let's fucking say it with your fucking chest.
Whoa. So... Wow. We get something a little bit earlier here that harkens back to the last episode of Rat
Trap. Even acting like these drinks are even making you act like you do at a strip club at like 5 or 6 in the morning. You're not like this at first.
On the Illinois side of the Mississippi.
Yes.
So we get a little something here that kind of harkens back to the last episode where Rat Trap makes like a chittering rat noise like he did when he was taken over by his beast mode. That's kind of cool, I think. And then now, okay. So... Why would you shoot a time delay missile into raw Energon as opposed to, I don't know, a regular missile, since Energon is so volatile anyway, yeah. and give them time to give the Maximals time to do something about it?
Yeah.
I was worried.
And
I was
you never see an explosion from the time delay missile.
No. So either. It just, I guess to your point, it's a harmonic missile.
I don't know. They don't call it that. They say nothing. To
indicate what this is.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, this is weird. This is why I was worried I wouldn't like this episode, but this is the only really stupid part of it.
Yeah. And it would change nothing if just exploded.
Just exploded, yeah, exactly.
The Preds assume everyone is dead, so they just take off. They're thinking they're going to get a promotion.
We do get your favorite thing of the fireball through animation, the real-life fireball animation explosion, Aaron.
Let's see how authentic it looks.
It looks pretty good.
It's impressive.
Not like the first season.
We're still in the first season.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I feel like it's compressed a little bit horizontally, but you know what? It's good.
It's very Magruder.
It's good. I don't know. It feels like it maybe goes to commercial at that point, and then we come back and we see buzzards circling the area over the explosion. The camera pans into a deep crater inside. We see our Maximal friends, first Rhinox, then Dinobot, Rat Trap, and Cheetor, but they don't see us. They've been rendered blind from Energon explosion contamination.
From bullshit plot device, that's what Dilly would say.
Step one, transform. Maybe that will help regenerate their systems. They go to beast mode. But they remain without sight. And I don't know how Rhinox knows this, but they've got to get to base quickly. Because if they can't get to an R chamber in 60 cycles, about an hour,
yep,
then that energon contamination is going to put them to sleep forever.
Yeah, I just assume he did some self-diagnostic where it's a cascading issue within their circuitry.
But he couldn't see it on the screen.
We will get this later, but like I'm like, well, yeah, you can't see, but... I mean, we do get kind of the beast mode thing in this one as well, of like they use their other senses, particularly smell, mm-hmm. which just kind of reminded me of like for whenever I had our dog Tucker, who was blind, I had one eye. I didn't know he was blind for like 6 months. Well, maybe like 2 months after we got him. I had no idea. And it was just because like dogs don't
talk.
Sight. Well, okay.
I'm blind.
Hey, buddy, I'm blind.
He didn't tell. You couldn't tell by the little stick he uses.
Well,
when
he didn't
he walks
bump
around.
Into like he didn't bump into anything. He like was he did walk very slowly.
He had
slowly.
The daredevil sense.
He did. Go ahead, Ryan.
Nope.
Sorry.
I know this is an emotional journey.
No, I'm done.
No, we're not making fun of you.
I know, but I lost my momentum.
We're just yes anding.
You're no budding.
Stop what you're saying. Give me a shot over here.
Yeah.
Ryan had a blind dog. Everybody. And he was missing an eye, too.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I thought that was pretty good.
Me, too. All right.
All right, Ryan. Sorry, Ryan. He's clearly agitated. I apologize.
Sorry. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Contact with us. All right.
We transition to Megatron and the Predacons at this point in time. Oh, but I guess before we go there, it made me uncomfortable when they transform and sparks just are flying out of their eyes. Every time they did that.
That was weird. Also, they have white eyes now, which is pretty creepy.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good representation of their physical condition.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did Tucker have one white eye?
Who?
Fuck you.
Didn't Geordi have like the white eye thing? Like, you know, when you
see... really uncomfortable contacts at the time.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He said they really hurt. LeVar Burton.
Yeah, I feel like that is a pretty pretty common visual indicator of blindness. Right? The white eye, the clear, misty eye.
I don't know in reality.
Do you watch
not.
House of the Dragon?
Yeah.
The one hot lady who is the the leader of the, what are those people? They're not Valerians, they're...
Blind.
Wait, Valerians, that's a whole other franchise. That's not Lord of the Rings. Wait, I'm not even talking about House of the Dragon. I'm talking about the Lord of the Rings show. Whoa. The Lord of the Rings show.
Oh! You mean the Rings of Power?
Rings of Power. What's the name of that civilization where everything's fucking kick-ass and cool?
Oh, Numenor.
Numenor. And the hot lady that's in charge of it, and she...
She's blind.
She goes blind.
But I don't think she has gray eyes.
I think she does. Yeah, that's like your indicator at one point.
I think she just doesn't make eye contact with anybody. She's just, like, looking around like...
They're like, queen, are you blind? All right, moving on. This is the worst episode.
I liked it.
Megatron. Megatron is not impressed with Scorponok and Waspinator. They have no salvage remains, so no proof of the kill. So go get that, idiots.
Yep.
Just a short little trip. Rhinox is leading the foursome through the jungle. They use their other senses, in this case, smell, to recognize that they are in a swamp.
They're also literally holding on to each other's tails with their mouths, except for Dinobot, who's just cupping that rhino ass.
Yeah, and then Rhinox stops a little suddenly, which creates... This whole part here is a little Looney Tunes, actually.
It's, yeah,
you get a comical pileup.
Dinobot becomes flat when he runs into a tree. I hated that.
Yeah,
but
Rhinox gets the sense something is up. No doubt, as a giant constrictor dangles from the tree above and puts the squeeze on the yellow kitty.
Yeah, man.
This made me think when Cheetor gets attacked by the giant anaconda of Starscream. Getting wrapped up by the snake in that one episode. I don't remember which one it was, but...
I know what you're talking about. I think that's the one where he finds the...
Oh, the...
Combaticons, right?
Combaticons, yeah. I think you're right.
Rat Trap bravely, and remember, blindly, attacks the snake, but is knocked perhaps hundreds of feet by the snake's muscular tail. The snake releases Cheetor and heads for Rat Trap, but before it can strike, stomp, Rhinox... stops and slings the snake past the fucking horizon.
I will say, oh god, I hate that scene where Dinobot becomes flat like Dr. Doom. Or not Dr. Doom, Judge Doom from fucking Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
I will say, whenever the snake releases Cheetor and rises up, it's a really beautiful like animated shot. Like the, the shine on the snake's scales is really cool. This part right here, yeah. That is very cool. But also, it's very stupid, the idea that it would throw Rat Trap and go away from a confirmed kill to chase something that's a potentiality.
That's a snack also.
Yeah, it's dumb. But whatever. I'm not too mad at it.
I like it when they're in the jungle. I think the jungle scene, we're mixing it up a little bit. You know, we've been in the desert for so long, or a snowy landscape. So
that's true.
We don't often get this.
I think because they couldn't afford it.
Probably, yeah. And now we got two jungle episodes in one.
Now,
this is again a little cartoony for me. Rhinox just
throws the snake and literally. It lands. So Rhinox picks up the snake, throws it across the horizon, and it lands on an elephant. Because there's an elephant trump that you hear there's when the snake lands. I'm like, oh. That would be cool if we had an elephant transformer in this show. But
oh, that would be sweet.
We don't get it.
I think there is an elephant in the Japanese animated.
Yes, I believe you're correct.
Beast
yeah.
Wars.
I think so, too.
I mean, this is animated, too, but you know what I mean. Hand-drawn.
Correct.
Ryan, how do you like Looney Tunes elements of today's
it's
episode?
It's not as bad as the xylophone piano teeth of Megatron.
I just find it interesting when they... when they pepper that kind of stuff in,
yeah,
where they do it and kind of when they do it,
they don't make that decision often.
No,
it's weird. It's really strange.
It's
just so random and like in this one we get two. That's basically it. And I'm just like, why?
Yeah, I don't. That is a good question. Like, that's a conscious decision. Are they appealing to the kids when they in their minds? Are they appealing to the kids? Because you don't have to do that, but that's obviously a conscious decision.
Maybe. I don't know. They didn't even do that in G1. There's a lot of really silly moments, but it's
not
never
like
that. Yeah.
So openly slapsticky.
Cheetor, at this moment, is pretty banged up, but despite Dinobot's selfish plea to just leave him, they go ahead and decide to take him with them on their journey home.
I know I've historically slagged off on the character of Cheetor, but... in this one, like the voice actor, Ian James Corlett, really brings it.
I really feel for him.
Yeah, he does a great job. The emotion of being scared and hurt, like really to me, comes through. And
it almost feels like he's accepted that he's going to die.
Yeah. It's between the animation showing it and the voice acting in this episode, I'm like, how dare you make me care about Cheetor?
It really, to me, adds that they're in a real desperate situation.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Optimus Primal contacts Tigatron, who is on the search for their comrades. Airazor is hunting in one grid. Primal is about to fly to another. Scorponok and Waspinator are also searching the area for evidence of maximal activity, but everything around the area seems to just be charred carbon. Were the Maximals vaporized, perhaps?
I do like in these later episodes of this season, we get more Airazor and Tigatron. I really appreciate that. I know because they're new characters, but like I like those characters both a lot.
Yeah.
So it's appreciated. And Waspinator uses his Energon vision.
Right. This is he's like, they've come all over the place.
To see the slug trail of Energon semen as the Maximals walked away.
Yeah. Waspinator can scan for Energon traces. They see the trail of energy, which could perhaps lead them to the Maximals. Meanwhile, Rhinox and the team continue through the jungle. Rhinox detects water. There's a waterfall that feeds into a stream that goes to the base. They can follow that stream all the way home, and they need to get there soon because Cheetor not feeling so good, Mr. Stark.
No.
This is the real... I'll capture the audio because
so
this
sad.
Is
yeah, it's really
one of
good.
The more compelling performances. And even Rhinox trying to make him feel better about the situation.
I smell water. Fresh water. And I can hear it falling.
Is it the base, Rhinox?
No, but it should be one of the falls which feeds the base. If we get to it, we can follow it. Hang on, Cheetor. We're gonna make it.
Yeah, sure. Gonna make it. Just so tired.
Jesus.
I know, right? Rough.
The water, I will say, in this episode is one of the unfortunate things that has not undergone a CGI upgrade. Because it looks like shit.
Yeah.
Back at the Predacon base, it turns out Tarantulas has a device that detects contaminated energon.
Yep.
So we didn't need to do any of that other stuff with Waspinator and Scorponok.
Well, they didn't know that they were not destroyed. He wanted Megatron just wanted proof of their bodies. So this is new information has come to light, man.
Yeah. So now Megatron knows the Maximals weren't destroyed, and he sends Terrorsaur to finish up on the bruised bots. Finish up on them bots.
Finish them off and finish them out. Jerk them off. They're going to get some stripper perfume happy endings.
I think you're forgetting what show you're on, Ryan. This is a Christian show.
Some good reviews from Showtime Joe's, by the way. Apparently, the bartender Annie or Ann is really good.
Oh,
and they keep referring to someone named Queen, but they spell it Kween. Is apparently like a very talented dancer there. So everybody's saying that the good bar, good dancing.
That's so hard to believe, but
go see
I
Queen.
Guess I have to go check. We have to go check out for ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
Hey, goodbye. Thanks for listening. AutobotDecepticCast.com.
It gives a whole new meaning to Doe for Joe.
Showtime Joe's.
Right.
I got it.
Thanks.
Rhinox and company make it to the waterfall. Rat Trap finds a log that they can use to cross the waterfall. They start to do this, but Waspinator shows up on the scene. He blasts the rocks by the log, causing all four Maximals, Rat Trap, Rhinox, Cheetor, and Dinobot, to fall, flailing perhaps hundreds of feet to the bottom of the waterfall below.
Yeah, Rat Trap goes across this log to make sure it connects to the other side, which is just more proof of why I know that Rat Trap's the best Maximal.
You don't like that water?
It looks even worse when they land in it.
It looks like Saran wrap.
Yeah.
Now, just because Rat Trap can make it across doesn't mean a fucking rhino can make it across.
What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna suspend disbelief is what I'm gonna do. Well, it looks like even if they were to cross this,
there's still a gap.
There's a gap at the top of the rock that they're gonna have to hop over.
No. I didn't notice that. Yeah, whenever we see them crossing on the log to the land, there is a big ass gap on the other side that does not connect to land.
But they can't know that.
Why did they include that detail?
That is a poor decision. That is a mistake.
And why did Waspinator fire at the rocks by where the log connects to the land? He could have just fired at them.
Well, hey,
We gotta have a show.
Why did they fire a harmonic arrow into Energon?
This is a bad episode.
You don't get it,
it's
Scott.
It's not bad. I like
you
but
don't
it's
get
not
it.
Great.
You just don't get it, Scott.
Just don't get it.
Just shoot him. Shoot him in the head. Look, I can do it right now.
And that is an Austin Powers reference if you want to enjoy the early 2000s.
Pterosaur shows up. I'm here to clock in. Waspy's like, job's done already, homie. Pterosaur demands Waspinator to prove it. The Maximals wash up on a shore. Luckily, all of them at the same shore at the same time. Waspinator and Pterosaur sweep over the scene, seeing the beached Maximals. Rhinox commands the team to transform. Picture a targeting grid in your head. Concentrate. You can do it.
This was cool. Like that camera angle where the flyers are looking for the Maximals, like a POV strafing the beach, and then once they see them, the camera rotates to zero in on them as they pass over them is really fucking cool. Yeah, like I do like whenever Rhinox is like, close your eyes, picture. I guess you don't need to close your eyes except to make it dark. But, and picture a targeting grid like from training, which is also cool because it's like we get some lore of like we've all gone through this training. And then Rat Trap is like, because Dinobots being a bitch in this whole episode. And Rat Trap is like, for once, just do what Rhinox says. Also, the grid that they see reminded me a lot of the holodeck from Star Trek.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I keep going to Metal Gear Solid VR missions.
Yeah, yep. Also acceptable. I'll take it.
And just like that, the Maximals are targeting the Predacons. Rhinox channels in on the coordinates, and the rest of the Maximals fire. A Pterosaur takes a massive hit, and Waspinator starts to retreat. Tigatron hears this melee from above and contacts Primal. Rattrap then zeroes in on Waspy's location and takes him down. The bots aren't in bot mode long, but their contamination has fried them. They are knocked out, at least Cheetor, Rattrap, and Dinobot. They are now in stasis mode.
No, I liked this. We get another like literal through line of being Zen, where Rhinox is in like a lotus pose mm-hmm. at some point. Mm-hmm. And
he's in rhinoceros mode.
In rhinoceros mode, yeah. And he's like acting as the tactical officer and also says, "On my mark, fire," which made me also think very Star Trek. But I loved these last two episodes. It really does feel like the series is getting more character driven. Mm-hmm. And then all of the Maximals are in stasis lock, and Rhinox, you know, is the only one because he didn't transform into robot mode. So presumably the contamination didn't take effect as fast as it did for the other three.
He's just a little bit more in tune with the extra senses his beast mode offers, it seems.
Yep.
Rhinox was in beast mode that whole confrontation. So while everybody else is passed out, he stays conscious, but then he maximizes when he hears some rocks tumble close by. He stays awake long enough to recognize the voice of Optimus Primal before he passes out.
Mm-hmm. Good wonder job, how they Rhinox. Got all of them back to the base.
There's a whole episode around that.
Make a sled, I guess. Make like a sled.
This episode does kind of wrap up
fast,
really fast.
Yeah, it really does.
Because it's at this point, later, at the Axelon, the CR chamber opens and Rhinox emerges, alive, awake, and with his vision returned to him. The rest of the team is also conscious, and they are all clear from Energon poisoning. The three comrades of Rhinox are thankful that he took the lead in maintaining optimism and forward progress out of their situation. Additionally, Rhinox sees other benefits from that unfortunate situation, as they now have greater sensitivity and appreciation of the abilities of their beast
modes. Yeah, he says, "We never really appreciated what we're capable of in beast form. Now we know," which is, and again, like, kind of goes hand in hand with the last episode we watched. Mm-hmm.
And with that, Rhinox transforms to go sniff fat rails of Coke.
Or flowers. He calls them flowers, but that's his name for Coke. which is also like, I feel like a callback to the way Rhinox...
Because we've seen him do that.
We've seen him talk about that.
That's a thing. So he's always been in tune, baby.
Mm-hmm. He's got that... What's the golden lagoon? The golden lagoon.
I love that episode.
Beachcomber.
He's got some beachcomber vibes here.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that. Yep.
And that's the end.
That's the end of that episode.
I don't have anything.
You have
off
no
the top.
Notes on. Okay.
You do.
Nope.
We got no new actors, right?
No.
No new situations. So let's go
in the real world.
Okay. I'd be happy to go to the real world for you guys. All right, in the real world, this aired February 3rd, 1997, in the American Top 40. Again, Unbreak My Heart by Ms. Braxton was the top of the pop, so let's cover the single that was number one for 3 weeks in September of 1997, Honey by Mariah Carey.
That's how the song starts.
That's how I start, yeah. The song was written and produced by Carey, Sean Combs. Yep. Again, this motherfucker was everywhere in 97. Kamal, Q-Tip, Fareed, and Stevie J, Jordan. The song samples Hey DJ by the world's famous Supreme Team and The Body Rock by The Treacherous Three. And it was a huge hit. And it was a move that put Mariah Carey into more of a hip-hop genre.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She looks hot in that video.
Yeah.
She's
smoking.
Oh. Hum, hum,
oh, I saw it.
Hum, 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 hum.
Honey was
the one where she's like on a ship, a cruise ship or something, and
it is
yacht.
A spy story.
That's right. That's right. Sea dues.
Yes. Yes. And she's carried by also a very attractive man, and then like, God, this.
Get
is
him out
video.
Of here. She's mine.
Oh no! I was like, I just want to watch. I don't want to be greedy. Honey was Carey's third single to debut at the top of the Billboard Hot 100, setting the record for the most singles to debut at number one, a record she held for 23 years. Until it was broken by Ariana Grande.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Fact.
Speaking of Puffy's involvement with this song, due to reports of Puff's overbearing nature, Carey recorded her vocals separately and gave him a few demos from which to choose.
Well, what did he add? Some uh-huh's?
I think he was just mostly producing.
Okay.
But she didn't want him in there because he's, I guess, was a prick. About this, Puffy said, "A lot of people feel I'm overbearing, so I wasn't allowed in the studio when she did her vocals. I'm trying to work on that. I'm such a perfectionist. Sometimes I don't give people the chance to breathe. So I've been banned from a lot of studios."
Jesus.
Mariah recorded Honey until she thought it was perfect. She gave me like 100 tracks to choose from.
Wow.
Yeah. In this music video, Carey plays a spy named Agent M and speaks some of the worst goddamn Spanish I ever did hear. It sounds like someone who's never heard the language and just got instructions off like a cereal box. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's meant to be campy because this whole thing is pretty 007 campy.
I mean, the name of the bad guy organization is called Dunce.
But like, just get her Spanish. Like, it's so weird. It's very weird. The way she, and I have to imagine it's intentional. I don't know. So,
what'd you say?
Okay.
All right. Your choice.
No me abandones, papito. Suéltame.
I think I don't think her Spanish bad. I think she's just a bad actress.
Poking los dos.
It's not a party until Eddie Griffith.
Oh yeah, I was about to say Eddie Griffith shows up doing his Eddie Griffith thing. So she plays a spy. It's the first video in which Carrie's kind of like new sexy turn, showing her provocatively dressed. And Mariah Carey said about this, "I don't really think the video is overly sexual, but for me, I mean, people used to think I was the 90s version of Mary Poppins. So this was a specific choice for her to go this direction."
And then it went that direction. And then it, boy.
And it was, oh man, I'll always think about, was it Sweet Fantasy where she's in the field in the grass?
I feel like that was before this a little bit.
Maybe.
I'll have to do some research.
Maybe I was making some fan fiction in my head. I don't know. I just remember her being very attractive in that. I mean, she's quite a good looking person.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying. There was definitely a shift in her image, her brand image,
definitely.
From sort of
from wearing blue jeans,
sweet girl at church,
to
it was a little more sexy,
a little more. Yeah, they went all in on it.
I don't see. I did not write a number one at the box office.
Oh.
I thought I did. I did not, but it's convenient because the number one was a re-release of Star Wars.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's right. They were gearing up for episodes 1 through 3.
Pretty soon, yeah.
Were these the re-releases that had the additional special effects?
Which I hate.
I don't know because I didn't research it at all.
Yeah, no,
like,
they,
obviously, I left a
they were re-releasing
space on it.
Those because they were gearing up for 1, 2, 3, and they added these. They added special effects, and that's Lucas.
Yeah, it's bad.
Working
it's bad.
To improve his old movies with really bad CGI and choices, just like the choices.
Yeah, it's bad. Like the redoing. Like, did Han shoot first?
Yeah, or like what I didn't like was they changed the music in Return of the Jedi down in Boba Fett's lair, and I thought it was really dumb. I don't know. It was just,
and that's another situation where, like, you can't get the original cuts anymore.
Nope.
Like, you can't buy them.
Nope, can't find them. I mean, unless you have them.
Yeah, or get them. Like, maybe if someone's selling them on eBay or something. But
yeah, it's unfortunate.
It's really bad.
That's the one where they in A New Hope they have the Jabba scene Isn't added it? Back in.
Yep.
Where he's walking Tatooine. Along, looking to like the worst CGI.
Well,
ever
originally they shot that.
He was
scene.
A guy.
He was a guy, and then they CGI'd this weird Boba Fett CGI on top of that guy.
What?
He meant Jabba the Hutt.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Yes, Jabba.
Yeah, that was what we saw in the re-release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's stupid. And it also, the obviously the scene doesn't need to be there, because
it was just fine without it.
Yeah. The movie was fine without it.
I could see how it's a little fan service. Like, oh, there's Jabba in the first movie. Because I think people knew about, that was a pretty popular or well-known cut scene.
I actually didn't know that was well-known, that it was a guy.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, but I didn't really know that was a part of the original thing.
It was disappointing.
It was disappointing.
It was a sign of things to come.
It was, but also it was doubly unfortunate because it was still when CGI was, I don't know, Jurassic Park looked way better than the CGI shit they put in the Star Wars re-releases, but anyway.
Maybe this is a little spicy, but is Star Wars really that good?
I don't know if we want to.
Yeah,
I think it's good.
I like four, five, and six, the originals, quite a bit. I think that they
were. You like six, really?
I like Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, I like it fine. Yeah. I think it.
I do.
Like it fine.
You do not, obviously.
I just wonder if it's good. Liking it and it being good is two different things.
I think it's good.
Here's what I think about Star Wars. I mean, because also we're viewing it from like 1,000 years later, but it really was way different than anything that was being made at the time.
No, you
way ahead of the curve.
Exactly.
From special effects, certainly.
And even just a story wise.
Story,
yeah.
Scoring, universe building.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was a huge leap forward.
It's like Lord of the Rings in space.
It's a space. Darth Vader, it's more like a Western. Morgoth? It's a Western in space.
I think Lord of the Rings takes itself. See, I liked there's a playfulness to the original Star Wars that a lot of it leans on, you know, like Carrie Fisher and
Harrison Ford.
Yeah. Having a certain kind of playfulness with their characters that I don't think exists in episodes 1 through 3 and does not exist in Lord of the Rings.
Sure. Gandalf gives you a little wink.
Did you just redo a rewatch or something? Because you've shoehorned Lord of the Rings in both episodes we've been talking about now.
He's been really into Rings of Power over the past.
Oh, I did mention Rings of Power. That's right.
He's been really into it.
No, but that lady's hot, though.
But Lord of the Rings is like nothing like Star Wars.
It's hard for me. Yeah, it's not. I can't really draw a good comparison.
Does
Star Wars is just a space Western.
Western?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. You've never heard of that? Star Wars is like basically, formula-wise, it's a Western set in space.
And also, Luke Skywalker is Osama bin Laden.
I have not
he
heard
is.
That.
Like, if you look at it, he's space Osama bin Laden. Oh,
God. Because he blows
You've
up
never
the Death
heard
Star.
That? That's a very well-trodden territory.
but no, I get what you're saying, though, because he just, like, the Death Star, we're equivocating that with the towers.
The Death Star and the Empire are America, and he was living on a desert and became a terrorist. Like, he's a terrorist.
By their standards. I mean, they're called rebels.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's
you're right, guys. Star Wars is the fucking best.
I'm not saying it means anything. It's dumb to even bring it up because who the fuck cares if he's space Osama bin Laden? I'm just saying, yeah, I do think Star Wars changed the whole game whenever it came out. Yeah.
I respect its revolutionary status for its time, but it's hard for me to enjoy any of it whenever
I
watch it.
I like it.
I grew up loving it.
That could just be a taste thing for me.
I grew up loving it. I loved it when it was on TV. I watched
a
lot of it.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah, I like. I mean, it's also like an easy watch.
Yep.
All right.
I will say, you know, I did like when Mandalorian came back out. I liked the first season of Mandalorian, and I like Andor. I'm looking forward to the second season.
And I'm not saying there's not elements of the franchise that can't be good. Like,
certainly,
I know people really love those Mandalorian and Andor shows, and I know there's lots of shows they don't like.
Yeah.
But I just mean like the, I don't know, the
That's
overall
okay.
concept
totally
is it good
now?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
It is. I don't think you could argue it isn't good.
I like.
Sure you can.
I like.
You can argue whenever, but
I like how you're like, you know, I can see, I understand people like it and stuff, but, and I, you know, I respect that, but, you know, is it really any good?
And are you any good for liking it? You're probably not.
Is it
right?
A good? I mean, I understand people liking it, but is it? Are those bad movies?
You know, Dune. Now that's a space franchise I can get behind.
not for me.
And you know what it's like? It's like Lord of the Rings in space.
Actually, it is way more like Lord of the Rings in space, yeah. But I don't like either of those franchises.
I love Dune. But I just started watching the Dune television series last night, and it's pretty mid.
Oh, really? The one about the Bene Gesserit?
Yeah, it's pretty mid.
Okay, well. That's sad. I'm going to give it a watch eventually.
I'd say if anybody wants to just try Dune, just read the book Dune. Just read that book, read Dune, and then go from there.
And then in 6 months, when you're finished reading half of Dune and decided not to finish it, let us know. Sorry.
Shots fired. It's nice that we don't all like the same things.
Yeah.
Some of us like good things.
Some of us question whether Star Wars meant anything at all as a concept.
And hey, Ryan, we did it. We got through the real world with a movie.
Yeah, we did. We talked about it actually a long time. You guys want some more champagne?
Yes, please.
Because I got a whole
bottle. Well, shoot, you should have poured that stuff about 20 minutes ago, bartender. Come on, Showtime Joe, serve it up.
Kelly here isn't getting the good review. Wasn't that Kelly? Was Kelly the name of the bartender?
Annie or something.
Annie and Queenie.
And Queenie the dancer.
You know, Ryan, where we're going next. Oh yeah.
Cornstar martini way more than I thought I would.
It was super good.
I thought it would be gross, but it was
might
actually
be a top 10
fave. Pretty good.
Wow, there's pictures of the interior of this place.
Oh wow.
Changing the subject.
And Aaron. This has got a pretty good bar in it.
Okay.
Sorry, distracted.
I thought he was gonna show us a picture, but
yeah,
he didn't.
Okay. He's like, Google it, you fucking...
Like, why even bring it up if you're not going to show it?
I don't know, like, here, like, it's got a big bar, like, you know, classic club bar, but then it's got, like...
Actually, this place looks really nice.
It looks really nice, like, kind of classy.
What the fuck is happening?
Right? They got, like, they don't allow you to really zoom in too much, but they got, like...
This is Showtime Joe's. We run a classy joint here.
I'm Oscar the Grouch.
There's Joe right there.
He looks like Showtime Joe.
Yeah. He does.
He's dead now.
Is he?
Okay.
Oh, in memory.
This took a real turn. What a roller coaster of emotions.
Steaks, of course. Steaks at the strip club.
At Centerfolds, their new sign, they change their sign like quarterly. They leave that shit up forever. But it says like, there's a new night menu of like steaks and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know if I want food at a strip club. Not that that's, it just seems strange to me.
I mean, there's a whole...
It's a whole thing about.
Oh, I know. That's just like, I don't know why that seems weird to me. It would be like it'd be like eating at a gas station in my mind. I don't know.
Which I have done. And it's not ever a tip top experience.
Yeah. I'm going to go into Centerfolds and get a prime rib.
Listener, have you eaten a meal?
I don't mean a strip club.
I mean a meal at a strip club. If you have, write in.
Please.
Yeah, let us know.
Let us know.
I mean, if I was going to eat at a strip club, steak's the thing, a prime rib's the deal.
Yeah.
Like a baked potato. It's like almost like a kind of a tier down below a steakhouse.
To my way of thinking, it seems like a really... It could be good. And I have read reviews that people claim that Centerfolds has good food, and I'm like, all right, I'll trust you. But like,
it just seems weird to go to a place to eat and look at titties at the same time.
It does. No. That's the comfort.
I will beg to differ.
Oh,
because I like the. I feel weird not doing anything except staring at titties, okay. And if I can have something else that I'm doing,
it makes you feel like less of a loser or
yes,
a creepo. Or...
That's right.
I'm not a creep, ladies. I just came here for the steak.
It's like I'm eating
sloppy steaks.
It's like something in the... We've been hitting that one hard lately.
I know. It really captured my imagination, though. It's a great bit.
Guys, we should have our Dangerous Nights crew and go over
to
just sloppy shows.
Sloppy shows! No.
Sloppy steaks at Timpano's.
Showtime's Joe's sounds like a good strip bar to go to. I don't know if I'd
go
to
Sloppy
Joe's.
We guarantee our girls are rubbed in chili.
Sloppy Joe's. Oh, God.
Yeah, instead of a Jello wrestling, it's like chili wrestling.
It's just gross in there.
It smells like charred beef.
And farts. Sloppy Joe's.
But I did picture you, Caleb, saying you like something to do while watching tits.
Uh-huh.
And it would just made me think of that SpongeBob meme where he's shoveling popcorn into his mouth. And I'm just thinking of you cutting the steak.
I would be eating aggressively, yeah.
I like the chili wrestling, and all of the attendees that are watching, each of us get a sleeve of saltine crackers.
And you can dip it in there. Yes.
That's Thursday night at Sloppy Joe's.
It was a wild time. 2025, you had to be there to believe it.
Okay.
Where are we now?
I don't know anymore.
We've been trying to talk about script deviations for about 10 minutes.
Okay, well, let's do it. Here we go. So, script deviations. The only Transformers-related script that Samuel Warren wrote was this episode. Samuel Warren Joseph, I'm sorry, wrote, which sounds like a very old Mormon name. But though he also wrote for DuckTales and Batman, the animated series. And that is script deviations. I will say, we did do a rewatch of Point Break last night, and there's a scene where Bodhi and Johnny go surfing at night, mm-hmm. and Bodhi is the Rhinox of it, saying, "You don't need to see, just feel what the ocean and the waves are telling you," or something to that effect. And Johnny is very much Dinobot, where he's like, "Yeah, you're right. Being able to see is highly overrated." It just, when I watched this, I just thought of the fact I'd watched Point Break the night before. That's it. That's script deviation. So
let's talk about Point Break now.
Hey, you talking to me too?
That is
comes up like every month.
That's also a quotable movie. All right, well, I'd say rate the scheme, but there's not really a scheme. Everything is kind of accidental.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
hold on.
Shit.
Oh, no, more Sloppy Joe's.
Well, I'm on Showtime Joe's Facebook page. If we would have known, we could have gone on February, like a week, last weekend, to the Showtime Joe's chili cook-off party, because we have a big chili cook-off. We could have gone to their chili cook-off after party, where you just know there was chili getting dumped on ladies over there, right?
Hopefully it wasn't too hot, you know?
Like ow!
And also, hopefully, oh my God, interesting.
Last night,
do they have any upcoming events?
Well, last night we could have gone and seen Ferrari and her friends.
Her friends Portia and Alexis.
Sounds like a straight to video Disney movie.
I think we might have to go to Showtime Joe's.
I think we might. I think if I show my girlfriend the interior of that, she'd be like, "Well, we have to go now. This is too weird to exist."
Yeah. It's really right around the corner.
Yeah, it is. We could walk there.
I don't know if I can convince my wife to go. Will you?
You want me to ask your wife to go?
You ask your wife.
Oh,
I'll ask
my wife. We'll see.
Or will your wife just go?
I don't know. She's not like no way in hell. She's just more like,
why would I go?
I'm just not interested yet. I want to just stay home in pajamas and go to sleep.
She can come there in pajamas.
She could.
Maybe they'll get on stage.
She'll be like the newest feature, like, "It's pajama." Yeah, put your hands
together. And she slowly puts more pajamas
on. And then just takes a nap.
Yeah.
that would be ideal for her. I'm like, my God, this is brilliant. And we made $500 of you just doing what you do best, which is relaxing.
Getting ready for sleep. Yeah.
You know what? She could probably make some money just by doing that on the internet.
Just by
putting a camera.
Yeah, sure. Her friend.
I'm sure she'd love to do it.
You guys aren't hustling.
One of our friends has said that she's thought about just doing a webcam with feet.
Feet are very popular.
I knew somebody that did that.
Yep. Yeah.
Foot stuff.
Foot. I mean, just like nothing. Like just putting on shoes.
She would videotape herself. She would do custom videos all the time, and people would request things like, "I would like
you to step on a watermelon or something."
One was like stepping on a car accelerator and just like going really fast. And
I can see how that's hot. I suppose
she would make little clay, like out of Play-Doh, little people, and would stomp around.
Oh, well, that's giantess stuff.
And stomp and squish But again, I don't think she was necessarily naked. She was just.
I think she probably didn't show anything above her shins.
Fantasy videos.
I have thought about the fact that I could probably make some money if I was doing like just jerk off videos. To other guys that want to see it.
No faces.
No, I'd have to show.
You could wear a disguise.
Because it's my moneymaker.
Oh, that's true.
You can wear a disguise. Most, like, I mean, OnlyFans is, there's so much to go into about how bad it is now, but like stuff like that, you got to show, you usually have to show your face, which is why you have to really hide your identity and scrub it from the internet.
It's true. Good thing you're not doing anything that,
West says I'm the most findable person on the internet she's ever seen.
Are you?
There is like, I can't remember what app it is or whatever, but you can put in a picture of yourself and see, like, it does AI where it will show you, like, it pulls up pages of information that this might be this person. So that's how a lot of webcam girls have problems with that, where, like, they, weirdos will try to find out who they are in real life.
It's
creepy.
Them.
Yeah.
Well, I always say
the MMA fighter does take a lot of my heat. That's good because there's an MMA fighter who's Ryan Chet, and he gets most of the.
Yeah, good.
He does look a lot like me. Yeah. That's a joke.
I'm sure you guys get confused in public
all the time. Whenever we're together, they're like, "Are you twins?"
All right. So okay, we can. We can.
I'm the ghost of the iconic moment.
You know.
I thought the iconic moment I liked, but or also didn't like, was distressing, was just Cheetor on the back of Rhinox, like on the verge of death.
It was pretty fucked up. It does, it was really well done. I picked Rhinox in the Lotus pose because it was weird and kind of cool. Cheetor really brought it in this episode, and the voice actor specifically.
The guy, the eyes going gray kind of freaked me out a little bit.
All right. You know I had a blind dog?
What? Aw. Poor Reese.
Oh. She can't see anything anymore.
Oh, wow. Dark.
No, she is in that room with that bulldog on the
John
desk.
Lennon?
Oh.
She's hanging out with heavenly bulldog John Lennon.
Welcome to heaven.
Welcome to heaven.
I know I made a song about how it wasn't existing, but this is fucking ironic.
Welcome to heaven, Reese.
Oh.
All right.
Sorry, Ryan.
No, it's fine. That was cute. Mm-hmm. Next time on the Autobot Decepticast. Yes.
Guys.
Hey,
what's up? It's gonna be our first Jopisode of 2025.
You know, it's serious because Aaron readjusted the microphone.
That's right. I want to make sure you heard.
You heard?
Give it up for Ferrari on the only stage we can fit in here.
What
the
if there
great,
were like
our great Southern Bank stage?
What if there were four crate-sized stages
in each corner of the room?
Yeah.
I'd love it. I think that'd be really cool.
Actually, that does sound kind of sweet. But you can't, like, you know, do the thing. I don't really like the thing where they slam their legs down on the ground. That's weird.
Nah.
Do some pole work. That's fun stuff.
Yeah, I want to see some acrobatics.
To perform for me. I am paying you.
Yes.
That's... It is your job.
I've got all these saltine crackers here waiting for you.
It's just a bowl of chili on the side of the table.
Well, there's that guy, chili guy.
Oh, no, it's chili thweet.
If you would like to support the show, the show's over, by the way.
Show's over.
If you'd like to, that's what
if
they,
you're still
that's,
listening.
That's what they say when we're at the strip club too late.
The show's over. You need to go home and please put your clothes back on.
Don't come back.
I'm blind. I don't know.
I don't know.
If you'd like to support this nonsense, please give us a review. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, like, sub on YouTube. If you'd like to contribute even more directly and substantially, financially, there are several levels of support you can find on our Patreon, patreon.com/apoddcast. And of course, there's merch available at autopoddecepticast.com/store. Ryan, what else?
Hey, we also have a segment called Buy Us a Drink. If you would like to buy us a drink and have it featured on an episode, you can do that by sending us five doll hairs to @apoddcast on PayPal. Tell me in the notes what you would like me to make, and I will make that for us on a future episode because I cannot make it on a past one.
Toasty money, buy us a drink. Buy us a drink.
And there it is. What else, Caleb? What else can they do to support us?
Well, like we're doing in our next episode,
we're doing a
Jopisode. And how do you do that? Well, you give us $75. You tell us what Jopisode you want us to review. We'll do that.
Hey, you know what? if you want to just give us $75 for nothing, we'll take it too.
Yeah.
But if you want to give us $75 to do your favorite Joe episode, that's what's on the table.
That's what the dancers that also say at Showtime's Joe's say to us. If you want us to give us the $75 for nothing, yep, we'll do that too. So I wonder. Here's an interesting thing you could try.
Okay.
Go to a. I wonder if this would be if this would work out well. Go to a strip club, and like be like, I'm blind, I can't see, like I'm a blind. I wonder if you get like extra attention. Oh, he's blind.
They'd probably just assume you're a liar.
Maybe you like the smell of the vanilla perfume.
Well, you'd obviously get a lap dance. You don't have to be blind to get a lap, or don't have to be blind. You don't have to be blind to get a lap
dance.
That
was, I remember that hit song from 1979. You don't have to be blind to get a lap dance.
Uh-huh.
You can get it whether you see or not.
Because there's flesh now.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. I would assume, yeah, that you'd go. I would probably say, oh my God, I can't believe I'm assuming what blind people do. But like, I would think you'd just get a sex worker, even if you don't want to have sex, or just an escort, or just someone to, like, if you're going
to. It's probably cheaper to go to the strip club still. And you get the music. Know, maybe you like music. Maybe you like club music.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, if you go to a strip club as a. Oh, fuck. I can't. As a blind person, sorry, all of our blind listeners out there who maybe I'm offending right now, but like, I would assume you'd have to get a lap dance because otherwise, why are you there?
The perfume.
Like, you're a daredevil of scents.
Also, the people come up to you and talk to you. And
that's true. That's
strike
true.
A, give you a I conversation. Don't wanna... Maybe you're going for the fucking steaks and chili.
Cold beer. Maybe. All right.
Hey, listeners.
The food's really good here. I mean,
blind listeners, let us know. Have you gone to a strip club? What was that experience like for you?
I actually really want to know this.
Probably way better for deaf people.
Interesting. Deaf people. Deaf.
You could still hear the vibrations.
You're just
deaf listeners. Have you ever been to?
You're projecting your values on these people, Ryan.
Yeah. No. I love that I've been put in the position where I've decided upon myself to assume what people with these disabilities go through at a strip club.
You can engage with us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Threads, Instagram, all of them at ApodDcast. But if you become a patron at any level from $2 to $200, you have access to the notorious APDC Discord where, we're there. We chat it up.
Yeah, we talk all the time. It's very active. I like that we do interact too, but like the people on there interact with each other. It's awesome.
If you got pictures of toys that you want people to see,
they will see it.
That's the place
to go. And they will like it.
And they will like it.
They'll be like, I like that. That's good.
Heart emoji.
Star eyes.
Star eyes.
Star eyes, very popular emoji. I always do
fire, 100.
My favorite is the blowing, the party blowing horn and guy with the hat on. Yeah, that's my go-to.
It's a celebration.
Badass. On Discord.
All right, everybody, this is over. We're done.
Good
we're
stuff.
Out.
Bye, bye, bye.
That was a good episode.
Thanks, everybody.
Take
episode.
Care.
Bye, bye, bye. Pistols at dawn.
Ours. Farmers.
Brew Cells is the sponsor of Autopod Decepticast. Yes, 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 yes.